I've been, for the last 10 years, in Christian filmmaking with a company called Pure Flicks in the States. But I started with fundraising because you need money to make these movies. So started with a movie called God's Not Dead back in 2014, and then went into another 15 or 16 theatrical movies, and then raised money for a streaming platform called Pure Flicks that was sold to Sony in 2020. Sony then kept it a Christian entity to make faith content. And then I started a production company called Canyon Productions that makes movies and TV series for Pure Flicks. We have a movie that'll start filming called The Last Supper. Anybody have an idea of what that might be about? Food. And that will film in Morocco in late July and August. And so I care about storytelling in every video or every piece of media. It ultimately ends up being a story, right? So in our modern visual world, video is king. More than 80% of all internet traffic in 2023 was video. And film, television, all sorts of digital media, social media, have inspired praiseworthy changes culturally, and they've also been detrimental shifts and consequential. So we know that how powerful that medium is. So it's the leading way to fundraise. It's the leading way to market a business. It's the leading way to shape a culture. And there's really no way around that. So strategy, being missional and being very intentional about this, is something that we are well served in doing. So you guys are very valuable part of where we go forward in expanding the kingdom. People remember stories more than they do memorizing things, as we know. If you've heard about something or read about something, but if you experience something, that's the pinnacle. But oftentimes when we watch any kind of media, we sort of put ourselves in the story. I put up a couple movie posters in my office that were really consequential movies. One of them, I think it's funny, and I've taken it down, but I couldn't resist. It was Top Gun, the movie Top Gun. I had, and I put the poster up because the poster has Tom Cruise wearing his leather jacket, and it has the aviator sunglasses, which, once the movie came out, both of the sales of those things went through the roof, multiples more than they had ever sold before. But probably more meaningful is, in the years, about 10 or 15 years after that movie came out, I had run across no less than three or four people that were fighter pilots because they saw the movie when they were young people and they went on to want to be. So I replaced that poster with the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston, an old movie, Cecil DeMille. It was kind of the golden age of Hollywood when they were doing better stuff, epic Bible stories. And then another movie poster up called The Shawshank Redemption. Did anybody see that movie? That movie did not perform when it was released theatrically, but then it caught fire and it's become a phenomenon since then. So video captivates audiences. It does. This is from a campaign called He Gets Us, that they're spending over $1 billion to do commercial ads called He Gets Us, a different way to explain who Jesus is. To an audience that has no biblical knowledge or underpinnings. But these have become relatively consequential. These ads have been really well received by a crowd of people that isn't necessarily the church. So videos combine imagery. I know you know this. A dialogue, light, sound, in a format that's captivated audience, grabbed hearts and minds since creation began. It can elevate your brand, build credibility, and broaden your reach. And Forbes reported that marketers who use video grow their revenue 49% faster than non-video users. So there's different types of videos, and again, I know you know this, but it's good fundamentals. I was a professional athlete before I got into raising money for projects. And I played baseball for 10 years in the major leagues in the United States. And as a professional athlete, you might think that we don't spend a lot of time on fundamental things that we learned when we were little kids, but you would be wrong. We do. Constantly repeating fundamental things that we learned when we were young. So it's good for us to just kind of go back to, okay, what are the basics of telling stories? And that's what I hope to do. So your video can take different forms, obviously, but you at least need to know what's the goal before you start making your video, because everybody wants a video. So there's different types: explainer videos, fundraising, instructional, testimonials, organizational videos, behind the scenes, storytelling. They can be used across different platforms. Of course, we want them to be able to be used in multiple places, and we'll talk about that more in the future here. But no matter what type of video you're producing, it should accomplish its objective by communicating authentically, personally, and impactfully. And I would say emotionally. That is really the key, the difference between video and a lecture. I wanted to start crying just a little just watching that video, and I'm not even a crier. But when you see, like, I've seen these short videos before, like Throw Like a Girl. I'll never forget that one. Throw Like a Girl. I almost started crying. I was just watching a video that I didn't even think that was going to happen. But it was just really well done. So you do a video well done and you see the audience reaction, you know you've made a piece of art. You've reached the heart. So what do we need to do when we're going to do a video? What do we need to do when we're going to tell a story is we got to start with a great story. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. And we, you know the rest of the story? Nathan was confronting David over his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And this is a AI-generated image. I just typed in a quick prompt, and boop. I think David looks a little aggressive there, but his hair is phenomenal. So there's different sort of methods of storytelling. You guys are probably familiar with some of these. I've read many of them over the years because as I got into the career in filmmaking, I had to start to understand structure. The story spine formula created by a professional, Ken Adams, professional playwright, is a good, solid way to start. It goes, once upon a time, there was blank, every day, blank, one day, blank, because of that, blank, until finally, blank. We have to put together our story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Even if our little thing is 10 seconds. I love the memes this morning. I'm a meme guy. I love them. They communicate so much in so little. But I loved the little girl with thumbs up, but the elder with thumbs down, and the girl with crying. Very quick, but beginning, middle, and an end. And if you're not going to grab the attention of your audience early on, you probably need to rethink what you're doing, because you don't have that much time nowadays, as we all know, because you're fighting with reels and Instagram and videos and YouTube. So grab attention quickly, be compelling, be interesting. It's worth it. So what is it that we're trying to convey? In the Christian film world, there's a couple of camps. There's one camp that says you got to have a great story. And then the other camp says you got to have a great message. And they don't necessarily argue that both those things aren't important, but they just argue what's more important. I'm of the opinion that a great story is going to be the best way to deliver a good message. But when it came to back in early 2010, right around there, there was so little Christian content out in the market and so much of Hollywood's mature audience content that anything that came out that looked like it was made by a little church production company, the audience was going to the theaters and paying. And they were paying too much for a bad movie. But they were doing it. So then that drew other people in saying, this is what the audience wants. They want a sermon in the form of a movie with a couple of church actors and one camera and some bad lighting. And that's what they started making because it was working. But then as we went along a little further, then it got too much competition, and then the demand started to change. The demand was still for good, it was getting to be, we want better quality content, but the budgets, the budgets were rising a little, but not quite near what they needed to be. So that was a tough time, maybe in the later 2000s. And now I think I still hear Hollywood saying, we want faith content. They just don't know exactly what that means. They know that there's an audience out there that wants something with God or some good values in there, but they're not quite sure what that is. So if you show up, Hollywood thinks that if you just show up and you put somebody in a scene that has a collar on, like a Catholic priest, that that's a faith movie. So they've had a hard time trying to figure out what is the messaging and how do you do it? And it is a finicky crowd. Unfortunately, the church audience is pretty rough. And I think that's just because the church audience goes to a faith movie and then they expect that they're going to see something that they could watch when they were in church. So what they've done is they've disheartened a lot of young artists and filmmakers because the church focused on things like that skirt was too short on scene 17. And they go, that's all you got out of that? Was that skirt was too short there? And then they just don't like some things. If the Christian's not good and the bad guys are bad and there's any confusion over those, then the Christian crowd says, we don't like it. So it's been a tough road for some talented filmmakers that don't necessarily know how to color in the lines anyways. But these are some fundamental things that we need to have in every story. You got to have a flawed character, you know, that's going through some big challenge. I'm an advocate of a script writing technique that was formed by a guy named Blake Snyder, and it's a book called Save the Cat. Has anybody run across Save the Cat? It's good fundamental knowledge for anybody that's in media to understand there's different story types. There's a monster in the room. There's the journey with a buddy. You know, there's these sort of main components that are going to be helpful to understand what it is that you're trying to convey in your story. Save the Cat.
Why?
Well, because when you introduce your protagonist into your story, you want to have him do something like save a cat or put the pacifier back in the mouth of the baby that's in the crib before he walks out of the room. Something that you go, this is a good guy. I can get behind this guy, even though he just killed four people in the scene before, but he seems to be a good guy. So it's a save the cat moment.
Snyder?
Blake Snyder. Yeah. And probably the most difficult thing to do is to deliver any video that we make, 30 seconds, 3 hours, has to have a climax. And if we don't know what the climax is of our story, we don't have a story. We have an idea of some things. So what is the climax of our story going to be? And then where is the all is lost moment? Where is the delivering something that was expected that everybody saw, but delivering it in a way they didn't quite see? That is the trick. It's very difficult, but do any of you have a favorite comedian? Comedian. Stand-up comedian. Stand-up comedians have to do this really well, is when they're telling a joke, they lead you down the road, they deliver a punchline that you didn't quite see it coming like that, but it made sense. And as a filmmaker, you want to always be looking for those moments where, and in my case, I want to have God in my story. God is in the story. It doesn't mean they have to constantly be praying or have a conversion scene, but God needs to be in the story. And those moments where he does something unexpected or did it in a twisted, different way, that's the delightful part of, you know, delivering an expected result in an unexpected way. And we could talk about this all day long, but the art is actually in pulling it off. If you have a call to action, again, is your video a fundraising video, a telling video? Is it inviting people to a marriage conference? What types of videos are you making? We gotta know what our goal is, work backward from the goal, and do these things. We all know that everybody that has a mobile phone nowadays can make a movie. So creating content is easier than ever. Anyone can pull their phone out, press record. In fact, it's an amazing thing to see news. We can watch a war unfolding because we see video happening. Crime, you know, people are getting caught all the time because there's no way to escape the fact that everybody has a camera. Everybody's got a camera all the time. So even though we can all be producers and directors, with professional video production, every detail from the creative concept to execution should be strategically mapped out. That is just something that we have to do. And as we make video, we should think again about, I want to make a great video. Does anybody want to make a bad video? I want to make a great video that reflects the glory of the Lord. And ideally, you want to be able to use it in all sorts of different channels. That is where, and the gold is that if you can flip and something goes viral, because it's going to be helpful for your organization. If you create something artful, delightful, it's going to be good for your organization. User-generated content, again, YouTube is the gorilla in media now, because so much content has gone in there, and now they've got lots of produced content on there, and people are making millions and millions and millions of dollars a month because they're providing content to YouTube, and it's a platform we can all use. Now you can get yourself banned off YouTube. That's a problem. That's a different seminar, that one. But in any event, collaborating with people in your organization to say, we want content, that's a good thing. So I encourage you guys to keep doing that. AI, if you're not using AI now, begin to use AI. Just like when do you guys remember phone answering machines? Did they have those throughout Europe? I remember when those came out, it was such a revolution that somebody could call you and leave a message. Nobody answered the phone, it go to the answering machine. But my parents and many people's parents were like, no, we're not doing that. If they don't reach us, we don't want to hear that they called. And that phone answering machines was kind of a technological revolution. But then it moved on to everybody had a computer in their house. And this is accelerating now, to where you cannot ignore AI is on the scene. And you know, when Google came out, Google and Yahoo and web crawler and what were some of the other search engines, that was an interesting novelty. And I remember Google announced that it was going to start to predict what you were going to type in there. And it made me really uncomfortable. I'm like, I did not like that at all. And if there was a feature, I would say, I don't want you to turn that on. But now I type in three letters and it gives me four options and it's predicted exactly what I'm going to ask for search. And that's because Google is, of course, a massive database and they're using AI. But nowadays, it's different now. This isn't search stuff. Now this is creation. Anyway, you can see some images that were created. Has anybody used image generators? Okay, there's some people that are saying that you're not going to need supermodels for all the fashion shoots anymore because you can just create them all. I don't think that's the case. I think there's still going to be people. We're made in God's image. There needs to be people involved. You can't just have everything be computer images. But there is some amazing artwork that's been done. This on the right, you guys seen any of that in AI-generated images? Her hands? Yeah, yeah. Hands are kind of tricky. Yeah, they're backwards and all that. But the thing that really knocked my socks off was this one. I made a 30-second video of a nonprofit organization in Poland that serves the poor and needy. Invite others to join by donating their time and resources to help more people and glorify the Lord. And if we get to it, I'll show you the video, but I just could not believe that I could make a video like that in 12 minutes. I made a 30-second video. You can make a video a day now and be posting them on your social media, and you can be editing them, changing them. It literally has wonderful music, establishing shot of Warsaw, a voiceover with a Polish accent talking, has people helping, their shirt says volunteer, they're smiling. It's amazing, I couldn't believe it. So start using AI. I have a subscription to ChatGPT. They have their own little store where you can do add-on. You have add-on things like image generator, video. I've had a number of emails that I've thrown in there and say, can you make this better? And it spits it out, and it's much better than the email I wrote. But legal documents, all sorts of stuff. But when it comes to media production, images and video, they're coming. So might as well start getting familiar. Anything that we do when we're telling a story to an audience is we have to, first of all, identify who is the audience that we're talking with. What type of video or story you're going to tell is the first thing you're going to identify. What is this that I'm making? Is this a fundraising thing? Is this just a brand building? What is the video that we're trying to make? And then put myself in the audience's seat and position. What are the feelings, experience, actions that we want them to go through and experience? And what type of storytelling visuals are likely going to resonate with the audience? Is it animation, or are you going to use animals that are talking to each other, people? I mean, this is the creative process, but what's going to be most effective for that audience? And if you don't know who your target audience is, again, don't pass the starting line before you know who it is you're trying to reach. So in movies, this is something I'll never forget. And we were distributing a theatrical movie based on a best-selling book called Same Kind of Different as Me. Long title, but the book was a best-selling book about a wealthy art dealer in Dallas, Texas area that met a homeless man, and he was a black guy that had come from Louisiana and chattel slavery to end up in the Dallas area, and they became friends. And they both dramatically changed each other's life. Glory to God. And they told their story in the form of a book, each wrote a chapter alternating. And then about 10 years later, some people said, we need to tell this to the world. And so they put together $15 million and they made a movie with Renee Zellweger, Jaimin Hunsu, John Voight, Greg Kinnear, stars, all-star cast. And then they put it out to the theater, marketed it for a while, and then put it out to the theater. And on Saturday morning, we got up and had a marketing call. So it was released Friday night. Saturday morning, there was all the marketing agencies and firms were on the call. And the representative from Paramount, who had made the movie, said to the group, you guys did a fine job of marketing this. We always felt like it was a feathered fish, and you did the best you could, because the movie didn't perform that well. And I remember thinking, feathered fish, what is that? I've never heard that term before. So I asked somebody in the office, and a couple days later, the Paramount executive said, feathered fish, what is that? And the guy said, feathered fish, well, it's not fish, and it's not a fowl. It's a feathered fish, it's neither. And the point is that the movie was made to go to a broad secular audience. But the broad secular audience had already identified that as a Christian film, faith film, so they said, that's not for us. And the Christian crowd thought that it was for the other crowd, and they missed both of them. Neither of them went to the movie. And they couldn't remember the name of the movie if they did go see it, because it was too long of a title. Anyway, all these things happen, and if we don't start with who the audience is, then we're going to probably miss them, or we're going to just get lucky. Which there's no luck in God's economy. We live in a time now where we can produce video cheaper than we ever could in the past, again, because some of the tools that we have available, including our iPhones and all these things. So you can test things out regularly before you commit to a bigger budget. And I would just encourage you to keep that in mind. This is a fundamental thing. Like we said, I'm not giving you revolutionary concepts here, but it's good for us to reinforce these things for each other. Test, test, test. Keep testing things. Test A/B test, you know, C/D test. One of the things you might want to do is, if you have an idea, is just go to the coffee shop and ask somebody else, hey, do you have 1 minute? I want to test an idea out and see how they receive it. Not all your loved ones and your friends and your closest relatives, because they're going to try to encourage you and say, I love it, just because you're doing it. But it's worth it to see how people respond to an idea about a story. And again, everything's a story, so just keep that in mind, that you're storytelling. Even if it's a sermon, we all want to know, we all want a good story. That's what we can remember. So great stories demand to be remembered. They are the things that that are when we're kind of most like God, actually, we're telling noble, great stories. And even the greatest stories haven't even been told yet. I'd say the greatest story has been told. It's Jesus and the resurrection and our salvation. But as far as, you know, the frog and the grasshopper or any story, the greatest stories are still out there to be told. I'm amazed at how often we go into restaurants and there's new flavors and combinations of foods that we can experience. I thought it was all finished when we had French fries and pizza, you know, 30 years ago. But no, there's always new stuff. And there's always new foods that come in, like mango and cranberry. And all of a sudden, those things appear in everything. But the best stories, formats, textures, manners of filming things, that they haven't even come out yet. So it's worth it to keep encouraged that even though AI is coming on fast and it's going to impact our world, it's not worth us fearing it. It's worth our time to try to understand how to use those tools. So God used the remarkable deliverance of the ancient Israelites, described in the book of Exodus, to be a collective memory for the Hebrews down through the generations. He expected them to tell that story and tell the story to the generations that followed to provide an explanation for their beginnings in slavery and their escape with God's help and favor. And this helped motivate them to love God as they went through. And when they didn't do that, they could just look back and blame themselves for not passing along great stories to the next generation. They started to forget. So we want to strengthen the culture around us, and we need to do that through great storytelling. And there's great stories going on right now because God is at work. So we should be encouraged to find ways to do that.